Greetings, my little oddities. Welcome to another episode of Odd Tuesdays. This is Monica Caraway from Small Biz Thoughts. Today, Carl talks to Jeffrey Ponce from DataTel Solutions and shares a conversation he had at the recent GFI Max conference in Orlando with GFI's Carolyn McClelland. We are also joined today by computer wallah Bob Nitrio in our Oddball segment, and I'll be sharing some tech news brought to you by NeoWin.net. First up, some live tech events coming up this month. There is a Eulistic MSP workshop on October 16th in Philly. Please visit eulistic.com for more information. The Great Little Seminar online courses continue, with a new one starting October 20th. The course will be delivered by financial coach and QuickBooks advisor Rayanne Buccianico and covers MSP financials. Please visit greatlittleseminar.com for registration details. The ASCII IT SMB Success Summit is on October 22nd and 23rd in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Go to ASCIIevents.com to register. Robin Robbins Technology Marketing Toolkit is on October 28th and 29th in Chicago, and again in Washington, D.C., November 18th and 19th. More details can be found at itmarketingroadshow.com. Carl's SMB Roadshow is heading down under, with live events planned in Brisbane, November 18th, Sydney, November 20th, Melbourne, November 25th, and Auckland, November 27th. Please visit smbroadshow.com for full details. And now, let's hand off to Carl and DataTel's Jeff Ponce.
I'm joined now by Jeff Ponce from DataTel Solutions. He is the co-founder of DataTel. Jeff also serves on the CompTIA's telecom advisory panel. He's the co-chair of that board, and he is the president of the Technology Channel Association. Welcome, sir. Sounds like you're a very busy person.
Yeah, thank you, Carl. It is, but you know, I'm busy because the convergence is really coming to fruition now. And it's a passion that we've had for quite a while, and we you know, where we saw the market going is exactly what's happening now. So we started DataTel Solutions in early 2003, my partner Daniel Langton and myself, and we saw the vision, what was transpiring back then, but we were way too soon to the market. So what we decided to do was build our company based on being a kind of a layered service on top of our MSP and VAR partners across country. We have roughly 500 of those now. And so we support that need. Everything takes connectivity. And the partners, you know, it was a big part of what they did, but it was truly ancillary. But now with the cloud really coming into favor, all of our partners do realize that there is no cloud without the network. So we're helping them to build out and to support their customers' ecosystems at every level on that connectivity end. But then we also saw another opportunity, which was for our partners who are systems integrators, which was, quite frankly, out of 500 partners, probably 450 of them. And so we realized that there's a big difference between software integration and systems integration. And most of our partners did not have that ability to make that leap, you know, because that's a different expertise, that's a different to the folks you have to hire and train and ramp up. And so we've got a team of 10 full-time programmers now strictly supporting that side of the world. You know, we're actually working to build our own integration platform to make it simple to help bolt those different disparate pieces of the customer's ecosystems together. Always complementing our partners, by the way, not competing. So we're not trying to we're not out there competing from a product standpoint with that with those set of applications or that API structure that they need.
So give me an example of the kind of programming that you would do. So you engage a VAR partner is reselling your telecom services, but they say, I have this other project. What exactly do they hire you to do?
Actually, the lowest hanging fruit on that vine right now is integration from a hosted voice solution to a CRM. You know, whether it's a Salesforce or a Sugar or some other one of the other 100 CRMs that are out there. It might be an e-commerce package to QuickBooks. It might be a customer wants to actually have a unified communications platform. You know, we throw that term around more like a marketing term anymore than we do is actually fitting the customer's needs. So it could be a VoIP solution integrated with a CRM, integrated with document management, integrated with an ERP. It could be a host of different things. It just depends on what the customer's needs are and how they want to support their customers.
All right. So when folks hit something where they say, this is getting a little heavier than I'm able to do in-house, they just call you and say, look, you know, I've got the phone piece, I've got the Salesforce or whatever it might be, I need them to talk to each other, and you guys step in and make that happen.
Yeah, that is correct. And because we're doing it from a platform level that we built, we can keep the costs low enough where there's plenty of margin for our partners to also add on top and make some money.
Nice. So with the partners that you have, do they? You said that 450 of the 500 are VARs. So
correct.
Does that mean that they started out as IT people and said, hey, I should add phones to the system, to my offer?
Yes. Yeah, that is correct. And, you know, there's a learning curve that goes with anything, right? And one thing I know about being in this business for so long is, you know, you mess up someone's data, which we've all had problems. You know, you've got an angry customer, but you mess up their voice and you have an enemy for life. And so you really need to be able to take care of that need. Well, who's going to help you with that learning curve? And to find the right partner that can help with that is extremely important.
So what kind of training can you point people to if they say, well, I know I wanted to get into phones. I see that there's a lot of opportunity there, plus not just phones, but bandwidth. But I don't know where to start. You know, where's the best place for somebody who, you know, maybe knows their stuff rock solid with computers, but it feels uncomfortable on the phone and data side?
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. We do it in a kind of a two or three phased direction. Number one is you don't have to lose business because you don't understand voice solutions. Our team, I believe I've got a team of 8 engineers at DataTel Solutions that has probably at least 20 years experience on the voice side. So they understand the nuances and the potential gotchas. So you don't have to lose customers as you're learning. Then what we do is we set up trainings with the various carriers, various providers, to kind of ease them into it, so they can understand what they're selling. And most of the providers now, especially the ones that are delivering phone equipment and phone services, have certification programs themselves that you have to go through. And we'll set that all that up. We can help mitigate the cost of all that certification and training, so that they can actually, their ROI is there literally on their first deal.
So what's the website where folks want to get in touch with you or find out more about it?
You bet. Go to datatelsolutions.com.
And you have a get in touch with me form?
Absolutely. My email address, which is jpontz, J-P-O-N-T-S, at datatelsolutions.com.
Very good. And we'll put that up in the text with the podcast information when we post it. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
Carl, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Carl recently attended one of GFI Max's conferences in Orlando. We'll be sharing a number of interviews he conducted during the event over the next few episodes of Odd Tuesdays. Today we'll share a brief conversation he had with GFI's Carolyn McClelland about GFI's recent and upcoming conferences and the recent major company changes GFI has undergone.
I'm here with Carolyn McClelland, who is the Senior Marketing Manager with GFI Max. Now, is it still GFI Max?
We are now Logic Now, and the GFI Max products are called Max Focus products.
Alrighty, and How are you doing at the conference here?
This conference is fantastic. This is the biggest conference we've had yet for Max. We have 500 people here, and we have four breakout sessions running simultaneously, lots of networking opportunities for MSPs. We have sessions with our general manager, Alistair Forbes. We have Dave Sobel coordinating everything, and we're really having a great time here. Lots of sponsors with us as well, and of course yourself, Carl, who's here with us today.
And you just finished up last week in Australia. You're here now, and then you got two in Europe, correct?
Yes, that's right. Australia conference was a great success last week, and then we take a week's break and we go to London and we do our European event where we bring across all our UK customers and Europeans, and then we go to Germany and we do a German local language conference. Everything's presented in German for that market.
Wow. Now, so this is the fourth partner conference in the US. How many have you done in the UK?
Four as well, yes. And they've grown from strength to strength year on year. First year was a one-day event at the Formula One Centre. And then after that, we've been in various venues, Twickenham Stadium, Wembley Stadium. And this year we're at Terminal 5 in the new Hilton Hotel.
Nice. So we're going to Universal Studios tonight, right? So what are you going to do when you're in Germany or in the UK?
When we're in Germany, we're having a special night out in a sort of brewery, a German brewery. And the UK event's a top secret, actually. I have not been advised what's happening there. My team won't tell me. So I think it involves food.
All right. Well, that sounds fun. So if folks haven't gone to one of these events yet, they can still catch two more this year, but they might have to travel a bit.
They might have to travel, but we're very welcoming. We've had people from the US travel to London before, and we've had German people go to Australia before. So, you know, if they see a venue they want to go to, it's the same conference globally, and yeah, we're more than happy to mix it up.
And final question, has the website changed?
Website will change. It will be logicnow.com and from the 1st of October.
Very good. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks, Carol.
And now for our Oddballs segment with Computer Walla Bob Nitrio, discussing how mobility is shaping and changing the way MSPs do business and how MSPs can participate in the mobile app business.
Hello, everybody. This is Bob Nitrio, and today I'm going to talk about trends in mobility. Specifically, I'm going to discuss how mobility is shaping and changing the way we and our clients are doing business, and how we can participate in the mobile app business very quickly and easily. January of this year represented the first time where access to the internet via mobile apps actually overtook access to the internet via PCs. And this represents a paradigm shift that we need to pay attention to. Effectively, smartphones are becoming the new communication device of choice. They are becoming ubiquitous, and they really can't be dismissed or ignored anymore. But what they really represent is a huge opportunity. The big question for most of us is, how do I get started with mobile apps? For our clients, the big question is, how can I afford a mobile app? Typically, a custom mobile app can cost anywhere from $25,000 to $100,000. Furthermore, most apps are single-purpose with limited and isolated functionality, and they really focus on customer acquisition. About a year ago, I became acquainted with a company called LogicTree IT Solutions. LogicTree is a software development company that has created a product called 2V Hub. 2V is spelled T-W-O-V-I-E. 2V Hub is a two-way communication platform that is both multi-purpose and multifunctional, and it focuses on interaction with existing clients. It's not necessarily something that's designed solely to acquire new clients. One of the beautiful things about this hub is the fact that it is ported over to all three platforms, Apple, Android, and Windows. The apps are highly adaptable and can easily be tailored to vertical markets. The four main vertical platforms that exist today are USPD Hub for public safety, In-School Hub for schools, My Youth Hub for youth groups, and 2V Hub for businesses and associations. When I saw the power and the ability of this platform to create apps in different vertical markets, I decided to become a partner with LogicTree IT Solutions. Currently, I'm developing some platforms for property management, one specifically for property managers that manage homeowner associations, and another for the more prototypical property management companies that deal with large apartment complexes. The platform is provided as a hosted service. The management portal is extremely robust and easy to use, and version 2.0, which will be released later this month, makes it incredibly easy to put content into the portal and push that content out to the app users. Many of you are acquainted with Harry Brelsford and SMB Nation. We recently set up the app for SMB Nation's main portal, and then we created a sub-app specifically to manage SMB Nation's fall event. If you'd like to take a peek at how this works, go to the App Store for your phone and search for SMB Nation, all one string. You'll be able to load the app and get an idea of what it's all about. A couple of the key points that you should know are the fact that this is a very affordable platform, priced at $1,699 per year. It has the ability to have an almost unlimited number of sub-apps, and the time to live on it is incredibly fast. Typically, the platform can be up and running in as little as 2 days, and usually no more than five. Once the platform has been created, the apps are submitted to the various stores, and the apps are typically approved within 2 to 4 weeks, depending on the platform. You and your clients can get up and running with minimal training. It's really that easy. Because of their commitment to youth and education, the cost for the platform is just a little over half price for youth groups and for schools. 2V Hub represents a new solution that you can market to existing clients and can also use to attract new clients. It positions you as being current with market trends, and because it's a hosted solution, it creates stickiness with your clients. It's a source of new recurring revenue with annual renewal commissions, and it gives you the opportunity to provide maintenance and training for your clients as well. Go to 2v.com, T-W-O-V-I-E.com, take a look around, and if you find that this is something that interests you, give them a call and mention that you heard about this on Odd Tuesday. By doing so, you will be able to receive a very special offer. That's all the time we have for this segment of Odd Tuesdays, but I look forward to speaking with you next time. Thanks for joining us today, and I hope that you find a lot of value going forward by getting into the mobility app business.
And now for today's tech news, brought to you by NeoWin.net. Hewlett-Packard has confirmed that it will split into two companies, with one focused on consumer products and the other targeting enterprises. As part of the plan, officials revealed this week in a company press release a new company called Hewlett-Packard Enterprise will consist of HP's current corporate-focused software, infrastructure, and services. The company that will retain the HP name and logo will focus on printers and consumer devices such as PCs and tablets. According to HP's press release, the split is expected to be completed late in the company's 2015 fiscal year, which ends October 31, 2015. Current HP CEO Meg Whitman will helm the enterprise company, while Dion Weisler, head of HP's Printing and Personal Systems Unit, will run the consumer company. Whitman will continue to help guide the latter company by serving as the head of its board. HP has noted that the split will see new product lines introduced at each company, such as 3D printing in the consumer-focused company. How the deal will impact its relationships with Google and Microsoft remains to be seen, however. HP uses operating systems from both companies in its consumer products, including Google's Chrome and Android, and Microsoft's Windows. Sales of consumer computing devices have seen their profit margins decrease, with intense competition from the likes of Apple and Samsung. Skype is set to block local calls in India starting November 10th. Skype is either changing or being forced to change its strategy in India. The Microsoft service will no longer offer landline and mobile calls for Indian residents starting November 10th. This change came pretty much out of the blue and was announced by Skype on one of their support channels. According to their announcement, starting November 10th, the local Indian subscriptions will no longer be valid. As such, they recommend users either cancel or use up their credit by that date to avoid losing money. The strangest part is that these same users will still be able to call outside of India, and to go even further, users based outside the country will still be able to call landlines and mobiles inside of India. Basically, only local calls are affected. Neither Microsoft nor Skype has offered any reason for this change, but the company has offered to refund users who will be affected by the announcement. There is an old saying, if you build it, they will come. A modern adaptation of this is, if you give it to them, they will hopefully develop for it. Microsoft has taken this message to heart, and if you have ever attended a Build conference, you know that the company loves to hand out free hardware, even if the cost of entry to the event is quite expensive. For those who are attending Adobe's Max conference this week, Microsoft is handing out a free Surface Pro 3 to those who bought tickets. For those who are not familiar with the conference, the recent event will focus on the creation of digital content, photography, video editing, and everything else you can do with Adobe's creative suite of applications. From Microsoft's perspective, it makes sense to court this crowd considering that they are now pushing Adobe CC on its Pro 3, and if they can get the creative types behind the device, it stands a good chance at seeing wider market adoption. This is yet another way Microsoft is using its marketing muscle to get its goods in the hands of influential groups. Microsoft recently signed a deal with the NFL that now has the Surface Pro 3 front and center in all aspects of that professional organization. Microsoft Research has churned out some interesting concepts in recent years that use projection and motion sensing technology to turn dead space into something of interest. Now there's a new projection-based demo that Microsoft Research is showing off. Titled Room Alive, the project uses projectors to throw elements onto surfaces around a user and a Microsoft Kinect to track that user's reaction in the same space. The Room Alive prototype is basically augmented reality without wearable devices, such as Google Glass, and strives to be easy for users to set up and easy to interact with. While the gaming applications are pretty obvious, the simple visual overlay applications are also quite impressive. In the demo, projectors were used to place images around the room that sync perfectly with one another to create a seamless environmental experience. The technology is very reminiscent of Microsoft's Illumini Room, which used projector technology and a Kinect to expand on-screen elements outside of the edges of your TV. Marriott is set to pay a $600,000 fine due to blocking guests' Wi-Fi. Marriott International, a large chain of hotels and resorts, was recently cited in an FCC investigation stemming from several complaints that they improperly and illegally restricted access to Wi-Fi and mobile hotspots, and at the same time charged guests as much as $1,000 per device to access the hotel's Wi-Fi network. News of the settlement was revealed in a press release by the FCC, confirming that Marriott has agreed to cease their unlawful use of Wi-Fi blocking technology, as well as pay a $600,000 civil penalty to resolve the investigation. According to FCC Enforcement Bureau Chief Travis LeBlanc, who heads the Commission's Consumer Protection and Homeland Security Enforcement, Marriott's decision to block guest Wi-Fi infringes on the expectations of customers to have easy access to the services they pay for. Marriott maintains that the Wi-Fi blocking was indeed legal and was only intended to ensure that guests would be protected from rogue wireless hotspots. Redbox Instant will be shut down this week. In 2012, Verizon teamed up with Redbox to offer streaming video services that competed directly with Netflix. There were questions about how the new service would stack up, and everyone understood it was going to be an uphill battle, but most welcomed the competition, if for no other reason than to keep Netflix on its toes. Unfortunately, October is the month Redbox Instant is set to be shut down. There aren't many details on why the company is shutting its doors, other than stating that they weren't as successful as they had hoped. The company continuously tried to improve their functionality, but in the end, customers decided they preferred doing business with Netflix and Amazon Prime Instant. It's important to note that this does not impact the big red kiosks that rent discs by the day. That service is set to remain available. The bigger question is, what happens to movies that customers purchase through the system? The Redbox Instant FAQ simply states, "We're exploring options for customers who purchased electronic versions of on-demand movies. You'll receive an email from us shortly, or you can check back here for an update in about 2 weeks. We appreciate your patience." If customers lose the ability to keep movies they have purchased, it could have a chilling effect on cloud purchases in the future. I'd like to thank NeoWin.net for today's tech news. Our resident oddball, financial coach, and QuickBooks guru, Rayanne Buccianico, is taking the reins as educator in our next MSP online course, scheduled to start October 20th. The course is entitled Financial Processes That Make All the Difference. The course includes 5 weeks of online instruction for MSP business owners and ops managers. All classes are recorded and accessible for students who miss a session, and students will receive feedback on assignments and answers to specific questions from the instructor. Topics covered in the course include separation of duties, what services are profitable, separating out information on the P&L for management decisions, entities and tax considerations, cash flow forecasting, controlling inventory and cost of goods sold, action plans for success, and more. Please visit greatlittleseminar.com for registration details. And you can use the show coupon, Odd Tuesdays, on checkout for a 20% discount on this course. That's one word, Odd Tuesdays. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, if you are not already following Carl's weekly newsletter, chocked full of resources, blog article links, and special tech features, just visit carlsnews.com to connect. Please join us in our next episode, October 21st, where we will feature discussions with ASCII's Jerry Katavis and Datto's Rob Ray. And we will also be joined by our resident oddball, Manuel Polacek. I look forward to seeing you then. Take care.